Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on NBC Sports Washington as well. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician. Looking to be their next HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, September 21st. 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Allville.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
What's up, everybody?
That is the foursome. Got the boys behind the glass, the Matt and Matt show, running the show. Got a lot to get into on a football Monday. Of course, week two. Pretty exciting Sunday night game. If you stayed up to watch that one, came down to the last play. Cam Newton looks pretty damn good so far this season in the New England Patriots
uniform. Not as good as Russell.
But he came up a yard short in the end. Everybody kind of expected that on the potential game-winning play, they were going to let Cam run, and Seattle was ready for it, and they stuffed it. But so yes, not as good as Russell Wilson, who had five touchdown passes to five different receivers.
Did you watch the entire game?
I didn't watch a lot of it early. Like, I missed some of it early, but then I got sucked into it late.
So I assume Drabby did. So Seattle was my fatty for the week, laying four. So give me the circumstance at the end of the game, because I did not see it.
Got the ball back with about a minute and 50 left and marched them all the way down to the 1 yard line. And on the last play of the game, because I think there were 2 seconds left,
right,
they decided to try a Cam run, which had worked. He'd scored a couple rushing touchdowns,
and they got
Seattle
to
stuffed
him.
It.
The thing is, I didn't like that formation because, you know, in hindsight, it looked like one of the few things they could do was Cam run from that formation, you know? I don't know why they didn't put receivers out there
He had a lead blocker that got stuffed.
Yeah.
Well, a win's a win.
I felt like that's how it would work.
You always take dubs, however they come. It doesn't matter.
That's
they're
right.
Ugly, back doors, you just take them.
And, of course, we had a victory Monday last week. Not the case this week.
No.
Just a dreadful performance by the Washington football team.
What a difference a week makes. I mean, the defense obviously really, really struggled to contain Kyler Murray. But, you know, last week they had 14, 15 quarterback hits. This week they had three.
Right.
You know, it's just a totally different situation. And offensively, they were fairly dreadful. Haskins at this point, I mean, he's just so far away from being consistent. That, you know, the running game is still inconsistent. You know, they're just all the things that you thought was sort of in a worst case scenario offensively are showing up. And defensively, you know, it was an okay effort. But it was nothing like the dominating effort in week one, which would carry a team.
Well, look, they were playing. Yeah, and they were playing a better team.
Yeah.
I mean, they were playing a better quarterback, certainly a more elusive quarterback, a better offensive line. That team had more weapons. Look, the team just isn't the type of team to dig out of 17-0 holes. They just can't do it. They're not equipped to do it.
Well, it certainly doesn't help when they turn the ball over.
Right.
You know, make a critical – the defense actually does its job, creates a turnover, and then, boom, Haskins fumbles on a sack. Then the Steven Sims fumbled punt. You know, you just can't overcome those
mistakes. One of the real hallmarks of this team – they don't have a lot of calling cards through 2 weeks – is they just get into holes early. and right, they're not built to come back from 17-0 and 20-0 deficits.
Correct.
They're just not.
No. I mean, they're not good enough to do that.
They did it in week one, but they clearly weren't able to do it in week two. And they, in my opinion, they were never in that game. Like, yeah. I never felt like, man, they're in this. They're close. I just never felt that throughout right. that game.
Yeah.
A lot of people on social media frustrated at Haskins. Now, he didn't have a turnover. Started off slow. He definitely is inconsistent. But I think it's too early to bury him. He doesn't have weapons. It's painfully obvious. Besides Terry McLaurin, they don't have playmakers on offense. Antonio Gibson is showing some signs, for sure, but they don't have legitimate playmakers on offense.
Yeah, but the problem is he's still like...
If they did, I mean, do you think the outcome would have been different the way he played?
I'm not sure. It was hard to stop Kyler. But, yeah. But like, he's still like... He doesn't put enough air under a lot of his balls. He's just a very inconsistent thrower, and I determined last week, and I stand by it, he's going to be a streaky guy. He's never going to be a high-percentage guy. And, you know, maybe it's because their receivers don't have enough separation, but I actually think when you look at some of these balls he throws, they're nice ropes, but that throw doesn't require a rope.
Right, like the one in the end zone to Logan Thomas.
It requires some air underneath him, a bunch of them, the bunch of the sideline routes that he throws.
They're going to have to make a decision at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals made a decision on Josh Rosen
right.
when they had the opportunity to take Kyler Murray, and they clearly made the right decision. But a lot of people were like, hey, you just drafted a quarterback in the first round. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. You can't draft back-to-back first-round quarterbacks. But if the Washington football team determines that Dwayne Haskins isn't the guy, they got to move on. And that's what this year is all about. And I'm not ready to make that determination after two games. Like I said, he's at least taken care of the ball and hasn't been throwing a bunch of picks. But his play has been spotty at best.
But he does take a lot of sacks, too. And I know that's not all on him. Part of that is on the just porous offensive line. And they weren't helped yesterday when Sheriff goes off with an injury.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the biggest thing that happened yesterday was losing him.
Right.
And if they lose him, have they announced what the injury was?
I don't think we've gotten an update at this point.
I mean, it looked bad, but... you know, you lose your best offensive lineman off of a line that's probably a C-minus or a D-plus, you're really in trouble the rest of the way.
Well, they were in trouble to start the season with that line.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
So it was a frustrating performance coming off such a nice win the week before. And, you know, like Chase Young, for example, had a solid game, but not the dominating performance that he had the week before. You know, the other guys, too, also sort of neutralized Montez
Sweat. But it was
Sweat.
Hard to do that based on Kyler Murray. Not only his elusiveness, but he gets rid of the ball quick. If you look
good.
At week one stats in the NFL, and Jason talked a little bit about this, but when he faced the Niners, I think he got rid of the ball the seventh fastest in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, and the times when he does hold on to the ball, those are usually his scrambles.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody can stop him in the open field.
No,
he reminds me of like a little jitterbug like on a soccer field.
Once he breaks containment, it's you just have to get lucky.
You're not going to stop him.
Hope he slips and falls down or something. I don't know.
He absolutely embarrassed Troy Apke. And I feel bad picking on Troy Apke. He's not the answer at safety. In 2 weeks, it's apparent. This team, the Washington football team, can't figure out a safety duo for the life of them.
No.
It seems like every year they try some sort of combination, and it just doesn't work. Well, and I'm sorry, Troy Apke, he's been botching coverages. He's been botching tackles. He's a physical guy. He's athletically gifted. But at least through two games, it's pretty apparent he's not the answer.
Look, Landon Collins completely just botched an assignment and let Hopkins go free in the end zone. So it's the high-paid safeties that are botching it, too. Now
Apke didn't have a good game, but neither did Collins.
He vindicated himself with the pick later. But, I mean, you can't let their top weapon just be roaming free in the end zone.
Right,
I mean,
that's a good
preposterous.
Well, I was happy. At least I had over 7 for receptions for Hopkins. Hit that. And I had this was the steal of the century, Jason. I should have put it on Twitter that everyone should have put their entire mortgage on. It was over 33 yards for Kyler Murray on the ground.
Oh. Yeah. Stealing money.
Yeah, it was just stealing money.
Yeah, it's just a gift. Early Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, he already has about 170 rushing yards on the season in two games.
Yeah.
You know?
Remember when he came out? I think I said I'd pull a Ditka for him. I would trade my entire draft for Kyler Murray.
But watching an entire game with him did crystallize why they parted with Josh Rosen. Like a couple years ago, I was scratching my head. I was like, you're going to get rid of a guy you picked in the top 10 for a little shrimp that plays baseball?
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out he's really good at football, too.
Yeah.
He made right decision
if he can stay healthy,
football.
Yeah.
EB, you hit that.
EB, by the way, you
didn't hit your teaser.
Oh, he got boned. You got boned with a meaningless field goal with 40 seconds to play.
Believe me, I was aware of it. Yeah.
You were just
because I bet on it, too. I mean, actually had cash on it. Yeah.
And Drab didn't hit his pick. He liked the Vikings plus three.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. Oh, what a horrible performance.
Again, well,
by the way, he was the worst. He was by far, and it's not even close, by far the worst starting quarterback in the league yesterday. By far.
How Rick was Mike Zimmer.
He's just terrible. He forces passes. He presses. He threw into double coverage all day long. Defense wasn't very good either, but they're just bad.
Can I amend my playoff picks? I believe I have the Vikings winning the NFC North. Yeah. Now, I know it's only two games, but I don't see that happening.
We should have been allowed one mulligan.
Yeah,
because it's 2020. We didn't know what to expect. Right. We didn't see any of these teams play in the preseason. We should have had one mully.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Next year, we're doing that. We're using it. We have a mulligan.
You can erase one pick.
Yeah, we all have a breakfast ball in 2021. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Drabby, that wasn't even close.
I think if you take the ball, if you take a snap and you spike it into the ground like 20 straight times, you'll have a QB rating of like 39. Somehow Kirk had a QB rating of like 4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had it was 9.3.
Oh. Well, here's something I noticed.
His quarterback rating was 15.9. His QBR was 9. His quarterback rating was 15.3.
Here's what's interesting, and I always goof on QBR, but it's definitely more descriptive because Haskins and Kyler Murray both had the exact same quarterback rating, 88.3, but Kyler's QBR was 90.1, which sounds about right, and Haskins was 13, which sounds about right.
Right.
Correct.
How can they have the same quarterback rating, but the QBR be so disparate?
Now, that's why they came up with it, because the quarterback ratings.
I never look at the quarterback rating.
It's outdated.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is encompassing.
The QBR decides, like, your decision-making. So, whereas quarterback rating's not going to reward Kyler Murray for running for those two touchdowns, the QBR is, because obviously those are good decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, getting back to that Vikings-Colts game, a little golf clap for Mo Alie-Cox.
Yeah, that's right.
Led the Colts in receiving. The former VCU hoopster turned tight end, 5 grabs for 111 from Phillip Rivers. That's impressive.
Is he getting picked up in fantasy leagues across
the
country?
He will be after that performance.
Now, he was in there because of injury, though, right?
Yeah, Jack Doyle's banged up.
And Paris Campbell, one of the receivers, got hurt, so they lost 2 guys.
Right.
But Jonathan Taylor, like we kind of predicted in the summer, he's going to be their number one guy.
Stud, 26 carries.
Yep. He was really good yesterday.
You don't see that. You rarely see a guy get like 25-plus carries in the modern-day NFL. We got 26 and went over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Found the end zone, too.
I got to go
Yesterday, a frustrating day if you're a Washington fan. But
you have to expect it. Nobody picked this team to be a 10-win team. They're going to have the peaks and valleys.
I know, but think about all of the – when we took a ton of calls last week, right? After their dominating win over Philly, certainly in the second half, and people are predicting 11 wins, 12 wins.
Right.
You know, let's see how they amend that this week.
It's called a reality check.
Oh, I'm going to guess nobody calls this week.
This is what we expected. But let's actually open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. What really went wrong for this team the most, if you want to chime in? 800-636-1067, because there's a lot we can get into. We could talk about Haskins. We could talk about Ron Rivera just laying down at the end.
That was weird.
Wow.
We could talk about the defense.
You're going to critique Rivera for not calling timeouts. That team was dead.
A lot of people were upset about it.
Well,
it's legitimate criticism.
I mean,
you may disagree with it.
It didn't change the result of the game, but you just wanted to see them fight to the end, and they just rolled over.
They laid down.
Right. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We do have John Keim. insider from ESPN.com. He'll join us at 7. We also have Washington Football Team insider for 106.7 The Fan, Chris Russell. He'll join us at 9. But phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. You can call us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. What irked you the most about that disappointing loss in Week 2 at Arizona?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a Football Monday. Opened up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. What bothered you the most about that loss to the Arizona Cardinals by the Washington Football Team? Was it the lackluster play at quarterback? Maybe just not being able to contain Kyler Murray, because one of the things that everybody said was the key to the game was to keep him in the pocket. They clearly weren't able to do that with Kyler. He's special. Or maybe it was Ron Rivera's decision-making at the end. It sounds like, Cakes, you understood it. Rivera explained that he just didn't want anybody to get hurt at the end of the game.
Yeah, and I also think he knew that it was basically an impossibility that the team was going to rally in that short period of time. And he just knew that they didn't have it in them. Let's just get this thing over with. He did his best Bill Callahan at the end and just wanted to get the game over as quickly as possible.
I agree. It looked like an impossibility, but it did for the Cowboys too. The Cowboys were down by 15 points with 4:45 left.
Well, you have a much more experienced quarterback. You have better skill position players.
Look, I don't think it was likely. It didn't actually bother me that much. I'm just saying that the Cowboys could have said, we just want to stay healthy for next week. And they fought until the end, and they had a miraculous win. Miraculous.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think the team is so young that you just want to build on sort of each rep and their valuable game reps. And they could have run some no-huddle stuff. They could have stopped the clock. I don't know. I was annoyed by it, but obviously I didn't think it particularly changed the outcome of the game. They were going to lose that game. But, yeah, I didn't love it. I think a lot of fans didn't love it.
Was Rivera asked about that?
Yeah, he said he wanted the guys not to get hurt. He was worried about potentially injuring them.
Yeah.
For you, there at the end of the game, any thought to using the timeouts and trying to get the ball back?
No. At that point, I don't want to expose my players to injury. It's a long season. We've got 14 games left to play. We've got an opportunity to learn and grow. And that's probably to me a little bit more important right now than exposing our guys to getting injured in a situation like that. You got to be careful. We lost a guy today. We'll see how he is come tomorrow. But again, I'm not going to expose guys to certain situations and circumstances.
So I mean, he's looking out
for him. It's a different mentality.
He also had kind of a unique take on when he kicked that field goal where he just wanted to put some points on the board because he didn't want the guys to get shut out. Which is kind of weird, especially when, Riverboat Ron made the aggressive fourth down calls last week. I don't know. I guess I kind of understand it, but
he probably doesn't have confidence in the offense anyway.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you could
at this point.
Yeah, I mean, so even if he is calling timeouts, I mean, he probably figures, well, we can't get back in this game the way the offense is playing.
I don't know how much I'm buying the not exposing my guys to injury. I mean, you're exposing them to injury every time they take the field.
That's what he means. That's why he wanted to shut it down at the end. He decided this was a loser, so let's not expose him anymore.
It didn't really bother me. I mean, he knew that was a loser. Okay, yeah. He can't but come again, right out and say it, but he knew that that game was a big fat.
Well, that's
game
what you're saying.
Again,
you're...
Cakes, 4:45 left. The Cowboys are down by 15 points. I'm just saying.
It's a more desperate team, too. Back. I mean, Dallas is a more desperate team in that situation.
Well, also, Dallas was fortunate because I don't know what the other team was doing on the onside kick.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Well, they gave it to them. They don't understand the rules?
I don't think they understood that they could actually
was
touch
shortened,
it.
And they didn't understand the rules.
There's no way they thought they could touch the ball there inside the 10.
Poor coaching.
I want the Falcons to stay bad because I have a lot of Calvin Ridley shares.
Oh, so do I.
And I want them to pass the ball as many times as possible. Thank you.
Well, they are.
Stay bad. Don't improve, Atlanta Falcons. Stay you.
All right, let's go to the phones. What bothered you the most about this Washington football team? Who's up?
All right, let's go. Let me see here. Do you have the name? Let's go to, is it Ali? Ali, Mechanicsville? Ali, what's up?
Hey, how we doing, guys? Ali. Hey.
What's up, man?
What's up, Ali?
A couple of different comments for you guys. For one, obviously it's still early in the season. I understand that. But obviously as a Redskins fan, Washington football team fan, there's a lot that we pay attention to. It seems as if, you know, Terry McLaurin and our D-line is the entire team, which gets really frustrating right now. Secondary is not doing much to help that out at all. I know you guys made a comment earlier about Brandon Scherff, you know, going down. That was, you know, a big part of the game, big part of the disappointment. But I'll be honest with you guys, man. I mean, last season, watching him so far, these first two games, that guy's getting blown up all the time anyways. Yeah. So him going down, you never want to see the injury. But, I mean, how much of a loss is that really? You know, it kind of eats me up a little bit. But the part that really eats me up the most is, you know, Haskins and McLaurin are supposed to have this camaraderie together already, this chemistry, because they're in college together. And I don't know if you guys are watching this, but it feels like every other, you know, play they send McLaurin on some sort of fly route or something where he's getting open and then just completely being overseen by Haskins. And that to me is just, I mean, that is frustrating.
Well, part of it is because Haskins doesn't have any time. I mean, right. There was a stat that was floating around yesterday on social media that he has the 2.3 seconds to throw the ball, which is the shortest amount of time of anybody in the league yesterday. So you don't have time.
I could definitely see that being a thing, and I won't argue that because, I mean, statistics are statistics. You can't, you know, facts don't have feelings, right? So there's that. But the part that frustrates me also, and I guess where this is the combative part of me, when I see something like that, whereas, you know, like the ball, he'll turn and look directly at who he's going to throw the ball to without looking anywhere else. There's really not much of a, hey, let's glance at the field. Now, again, you know, 2.3 seconds, you said 2.5 seconds. That's not a lot of time to work. But use your feet. Get out of the pocket. I mean, every other quarterback, it seems, is doing that these days. Why can't Haskins, especially at, you know, being so young? You have fresh legs. Let's use them.
His pocket presence is questionable.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You know, he holds on to the ball a little bit, and his pocket presence may not be the best.
His feet.
I would like to see them force-feed Terry McLaurin a little bit early.
Absolutely. And I think you saw as that game progressed, I think Scott Turner showed you he was going to use some more quick hitters, some slants to get the ball in McLaurin's hands because he knows that pass rush is getting in on Haskins with the quickness. He knows it.
The biggest thing for me is, I mean, that's all true. His pocket presence needs to be, better. His footwork in the pocket needs to be better. But the biggest thing for me is he just needs to put a little more air under the ball oftentimes. You know, he's just throwing these ropes everywhere, and you got to let the guys kind of like run underneath the ball.
In other words, when you put it all together, he needs to play quarterback better.
Or he's throwing it at Inman's feet. Now, I know that's what I'm just picking out on him for that one play.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was at his shoelaces.
Was that the third and two?
Yeah, it was short
yardage. Yeah.
Inman didn't sell it well, though, either. He knew he didn't catch it.
Right.
He did a terrible job of selling it.
Well, he's Dontrell Inman. You can only get so much out of him.
Yeah, yeah. And Logan Thomas, here's the thing about Logan Thomas. He's not a special, his hands are not special. You know, he might be able to catch the ball if he's wide open, but too many times is he just throwing like one hand up and you just know he's not going to catch that.
He may be fine, but I told you this. I was in the minority. They should have just thrown peanuts, the Flyers, to Jordan Reed.
Here
it
comes.
Two touchdowns and seven catches. Logan Thomas probably won't have a game as good as Jordan Reed had in a half yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean,
I was waiting for you to say that.
I can't say anything about Jordan because we all know that it's going to just take one pop to the head and he'll be done.
In fact, when I was watching the game And after he scored the first touchdown, I immediately thought of JP, and I said, he's going to bring that up tomorrow.
And then when he scored the second touchdown,
I said, he's definitely going to bring it up tomorrow.
Well, I mean, is it valid or is it invalid?
Well, look, there were circumstances.
Too many years of experience.
I understand
with him.
That, but my whole point was you just ride him out as long as he can play.
Yeah, but you can't rely on him. He's the backup for them.
Then Logan Thomas could be your backup, and then once he gets dinged, then you go to Logan Thomas. But Logan Thomas is two games. Again, I don't want to cast this big judgment, but he's a below-average tight end in the league. He just is.
We knew that was going to be the case.
Right.
And they've got below-average weapons, okay? They got a below-average quarterback. They got a below-average offensive line. Just one of those years.
I also advocated bringing Cam in. And we'll see how that plays out. Maybe they bring him in next year because you have to see what Haskins has at this point. Let's go back to the phones. Bob's in Lynchburg online, too. Bob, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, shout out to ATG with his first catch of the season, even though it was only for 3 yards.
Very good.
Yeah.
When Haskins threw that pick yesterday, he was sitting, Fox panned to him on the bench, and the coach is talking to him, and he's cracking his knuckles and staring at the field.
Which pick are you talking about? He didn't throw a pick.
I mean, when he fumbled the ball?
When he fumbled it?
Oh, fumbled. I'm sorry. Fumbled. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry. He fumbled the ball. He just doesn't seem to have the decision-making you need to do that. Now, granted, when your linemen are getting pushed into you and you're getting sacked by your own guy, that doesn't help anything. But like you guys said, he has zero pocket presence. I mean, Ryan, do something. Don't just stand there and get hit or throw the ball 16 yards behind McLaurin when he's sprinting down the field. I mean, I don't think he's going to work out in the long term. If Ron Rivera may be true, Bob, but he's not a runner.
Bob, you might be right.
I know.
He might not be the answer, but he's not a Kyler Murray runner. He's going to be more like a Carson Wentz.
He's a desperation runner.
And we saw what happened to Carson Wentz last week when there was a big-time pass rush against him in the Washington football team with the 8 sacks. And we saw what happened with Carson Wentz when he had a banged-up offensive line. And that's the things that you have to say about Haskins is he doesn't have many weapons, and he's got an inept offensive line. It just is.
That's really bad. To me, that's going to be the number one thing. The downfall is the offensive line.
And you can think what you want about Brandon Scherff, okay? Maybe he's not as good as his salary, but he's still, in my opinion, their best offensive lineman.
Yep.
And it just, if he's out for a while, it just kills, first of all, kills the depth. And that's an experienced guy. And I think that's really going to hurt. And look, this team can't afford to lose offensive linemen. They don't have that many good ones.
No.
So. Look, it's not like Scherff is the best interior lineman in the league, but
he's the best they've got.
He's pretty good for that team.
Yes. You need depth. Yeah. Just like Fox needs depth. Kenny Albert's in the bubble, so they had to go to Dick Stockton. He has lost his fastball so bad.
Well,
How many errors did Dick Stockton have last night?
I mean, I just don't understand why he keeps getting trotted out to do like the seventh best game that the NFC has. I mean, there has to be somebody else in the pipeline. I would think.
I don't know.
He made a million mistakes.
I don't know why.
He's almost 80.
He thought they were in the third quarter.
What do you think we're going to sound like if we're doing this show when we're 77?
He said Tate Barber had 29 carries a week ago instead of 29 yards.
Right. Yeah.
No, he's lost it.
It was constant.
All right, let's go to Steve in Manassas. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, Junks.
Hey, good morning.
It's a misery Monday. It's kind of horrible.
Yeah.
First and foremost, first time caller, I just want to say, man, y'all have me laughing every day, daily.
Thanks,
buddy. I listen to y'all all the time.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, bro.
Appreciate it, man. What's up?
Yeah, man, the offense is horrible for 3 quarters every game. I know it's only 2 games.
Right.
I mean, we got to play more offense the first 3 quarters. You can't play offense in the fourth quarter and expect to win. The defense can only do so much.
If they converted some third downs, they would play some more offense.
Yeah, what were they, 4 for 12?
I know. You can't throw the ball at Emmons' feet on a third down. I was listening to – I mean, you just can't do that. I mean, Haskins is killing me.
Only the Jets have less yards right now than the Washington football team offensively. I mean, technically the Saints, but they've only played one game. But really – it's the Jets. That's where they are right now in terms of offense.
You don't want to be in that neighborhood. That's a bad neighborhood to be in. terrible neighborhood.
God, I don't think Gase will last the season, right?
I don't think he's going to last six games.
Oh, they're bad.
They
might have to make a decision, and I didn't get to watch the game. They might have to make a decision if they end up having the top pick or the second pick on whether they're going to go with Darnold.
I mean, basically, every player on the 49ers got injured, and they still annihilated the Jets. Just destroyed
them. It was an ugly game. And I already talked about this. There are three or four teams that drafted quarterbacks high in the last couple of years that are going to have to go to Lawrence. They just have to.
Yep, right.
And the Jets are one.
Certainly.
100%.
And Washington may be another. Still to be determined, but they may be another.
Yeah.
It's just and I thought Arizona did a great job. Now, a lot of it is because Kyler's so good and so elusive. And, you know, he's in rare air there. Mm-hmm. But they got rid of the ball so quickly on their pass. And that's how you neutralize, you know, a pass rush. It's obvious, right? You just got to get rid of it quick. And the strength of our team can be neutralized pretty effectively if you have a guy that can release the ball quickly and find open guys and you have, you know, good receivers.
Plus, he's spread it around. He had four guys who had 50 yards of receiving at a minimum.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald didn't have a yards per catch day, but he looked like he was 25 years old.
Yeah.
He was getting open at will.
Yep.
Yeah. Luckily, their next quarterback holds on to the ball a little bit that they face, and that's Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
Yeah, we got that. That's a must. I'm gonna declare it now. That's a must win game. That's a must win.
They opened up about a 7-point dog,
6.5-point fave.
That's a must win game. If you want to have any shot, you got to beat Cleveland.
Well, that's another team that has so many more offensive weapons.
It's not even close.
I mean, you fall 17-0 down to them, you're not coming back.
Are you going
to
disrespect the Browns all week, EB? Like you diss the Cardinals?
He will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just scared of them, but yeah. I mean, I understand that they're better, but I don't care. I mean,
but I know who you're picking.
I mean, I don't know. Actually, I don't know that. I don't know.
This is gonna be tough to pick the Washington football team almost any week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if they had won that game, then they would have a totally different, you know, opinion of things, or at least if the game was close. But it just wasn't good. And Haskins just has a lot of growth. I mean,
correct.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Talking about the Washington football team lost to the Cardinals yesterday on a football Monday here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on a football Monday. We'll go around the NFL. And the Junkies Blitz at 7:45. Some great games yesterday, especially the Sunday night game, which came down to the last play. Seattle pulls it out. But we're talking about the Washington football team. A couple more callers before we open up the Junkies Sports page. Who's up?
All right, let me see. Let's go to Mike in La Plata. Mike, what's up?
Yo, what up, Jones? What's happening this morning, brother?
What's up, hey, Mike?
Buddy.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, ain't too much, man. Hey, he's got three small points, man. The first point is Troy Apke, man. He got to go. Tackles with his head down. He's out of position. That's going to kill us. I said that before the season started when they decided to keep him. I was like, that's it. It's a wrap because he can't play. He can't cover the field. Second point I want to make is Haskins had number 24 in the flat like seven different occasions. He could have hit him with, you know, like you said, if the offensive line is not giving you nothing, then go to your hots. You know what I mean? So he was in the open on numerous occasions where he could have at least gotten 6 or 7 yards. Not saying he's going to hit a home run, but he could have gotten us out of a bind.
I did notice Gibson in the flat late where he was just wide open, and yeah, he chose to go to his wide right open instead of his left. But, again, that's a growth process. It's just going to take some time.
Growth process. Yeah, and he relies too much on his arm. You know, that one touchdown that we could have, he throws a missile instead of just putting a little loft on the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the last point I want to make, man, is I'm not really feeling the whole process of the offense. It's like no one is getting open except for McLaurin. I don't know
enough.
If it's a,
yeah.
I mean, but, Dontrell Inman, Grant Paulson came on Watching Game Day Uncensored yesterday and had a great stat about Inman. I think he was dead last, definitely bottom 10 in the entire NFL in terms of separation in week one.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of amazing, and we talked about this in the offseason, actually before the draft, we talked a lot about it, that they didn't address that. I mean, we knew McLaurin could play, but there were guys available. And I know they kicked the tires on some guys.
Well, they did draft Gandy Golden.
No, I'm talking about in free agency.
Right.
Before the draft.
Yeah, but that's a fourth-round project.
Yeah, so
you know, that's a kid from Liberty.
It is kind of perplexing that they didn't go out and get a couple of
They didn't add any weapons.
I know they kicked the tires on Amari Cooper.
Well, they offered him a big bag of money, and he chose to stay in Dallas.
Yeah, but they really did need a couple of veteran receivers to help Haskins out. Might not have helped, but to go with the crop that they have, as young and inexperienced as they are, really.
Well, also on the offensive line, because it, like, you know, we've said all year, it starts up front.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just doesn't have enough time to learn and grow. I mean,
I think Gibson will be good.
Under assault.
I think Gibson will be really good.
I think Gibson will be good, but you can still see he's kind of feeling his way.
He is.
He kind of looks a little awkward sometimes back there. I think McKissick hits a hole quicker than he does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the Washington football team could have signed a guy like Emmanuel Sanders or Robbie Anderson, who signed in Carolina, who's looked pretty good through two games. But maybe they just felt like, I think Robbie Anderson is making $9 or $10 million a year. Maybe they just felt this market is a little bit out of whack.
It.
We're not going to pay this guy X
also,
amount
they're
of money.
Paying a guy $20 million in a T-shirt. You got to remember
that.
That
hurts.
That is
paying
true.
$20 million in a T-shirt, so... You know, you don't have an unlimited pile of
maybe they just didn't have any options and they knew that. So.
Well, depending how it all plays out, my son keeps telling me that they're going to draft Jamar Chase next year, who's the stud receiver from LSU. So
they might.
We'll see how it all plays out. We're going to do a deeper dive into Haskins coming up at 7:20. Also, John Keim, insider from ESPN.com, he joins us every Monday at 7 o'clock. But right now, let's open up the Junkie Sports page, which, of course, is sponsored by Software AG Government Solutions, home of WebMethods, the world's most capable integration platform.
It was very difficult yesterday as a golf fan, and obviously I wanted to watch the Washington game and all the other games that were going on, but it was very difficult to go back and forth from the U.S. Open to the football.
Well, Lurch, you got to like, bring your laptop with you so you have one on there. You know what I mean? Watch one on your laptop.
I know.
Watch.
I just don't do that. I don't do that. I'm a previous channel type of guy.
Yeah, well, that's hard
right?
to do.
And then we had dinner, and we actually ate dinner outside on the screened-in porch.
Yeah.
So I was kind of just – I was forced to just kind of watch one thing there.
Yeah.
But anyway, just kind of recapping the U.S. Open, I can't believe that Bryson DeChambeau – played four rounds at par or better on that course in those conditions. It just blows my mind.
He crushed
really
your
does.
Bat. He pommeled your bat.
Wasn't really even close.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, Steve.
And the fact that he was at 70 or better for four rounds on that course, you should see some of the scores of really good players in that tournament. The Patrick Cantleys, the Ricky Fowlers, the Bubba Watsons. I mean, he was 20 to 25 strokes better than those guys. Mm-hmm. It really is incredible.
By the way, Jason, Steve, the world's worst half-court shooter, has been a long time listening to the show, reminded me, and I didn't even really remember it, that you mocked me when I said DeChambeau could win this thing.
I didn't think he could. Look, when you're hitting the ball 380 yards, I guess it doesn't matter if you're in the rough because you're going to hit a 9-iron out of it. And he's so strong. The fact that he hit a 5-iron out of the trap yesterday, 233 yards to the front of the green.
Who had Bryson in the pool? Who won?
Anna.
We owe Anna $20.
Got a shipper $20.
You know, right. if Wingfoot was playing difficult like it was on Friday and Sunday, the two of the hardest days, we would have had a Tiger at Pebble type U.S. Open where Bryson just ran away from the field because his distance between him and then all the other golfers was so great on the most difficult days that it would have been a huge runaway.
Yeah,
he would have lapped the field.
If Thursday, you know, there was no wind and the greens were receptive, and we kind of made fun of it because
and they had like how many guys did they have under par? In that
about 25. Yeah, 21. All right, but that quickly dropped to 6 on Friday.
So if the course was like it was on Friday and on Sunday, basically no one would have touched them.
Right, because he shot 68 and 67 right. on those 2 days. It was just incredible to watch.
But what happened to the kid? Like, the kid was winning it, right? Wolf?
Yeah.
On Sunday? He just faded. He shot poorly.
He shot 75 yesterday.
Brutal conditions. I think, was Bryson the only guy that was under par on Sunday? Might have been.
Yes.
I think so.
I think Thomas might have been even, but he was the only one under par.
There was a few guys even par, but he was the only guy under par. Yeah. So it's his first major.
Gonna win
you know,
more.
he's just a beast. There's going to be tournaments where it's really going to cost him that he's not in the fairway, but he was so good around the greens. His putting
I'm not sure, man. If it doesn't cost you in the U.S. Open, where is it going to cost you?
Well, I mean, it cost him in other tournaments before the U.S. Open. But my point
is he the one-length guy?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a great thread. I retweeted it, if you want to follow me on Twitter, EB Junkies, where they just break down every unique thing about him and how he approaches the game. You know, we know that he has sort of the one-path swing, and that's kind of the major philosophy is full swing and why he does the one-length iron.
He changed that with his driver this year. So he doesn't have a single plane swing with his driver swing, but everything else he does.
His irons are all the same length.
They're all the same. That's the whole idea of it.
Right. And he also does things with his brain. He puts like these brain sensors on where he checks his brain waves to try to balance his brain. Mm-hmm. The way he reads the greens, he's got a chart. He's got a mathematical chart for how he reads the greens. Everything he does is unique and different. His training regimen, he does these unique. I mean, he goes in there. He's got like a little net in his gym. And part of his training is going in there, and you'll see it, and swinging as hard as he can.
Right.
And he did like 57 swings as hard as he can. And he's just wailing. And it's just how he's – I mean –
That's just how he's wired. I mean, he's very analytical.
Yeah.
He's very strong.
He's trying to max out everything. He wants to live to 130. Right. He's going to try – he says he wants to max out how long he lives.
Good luck.
That obviously isn't going to happen.
Before the U.S. Open, he said that he's tinkering with making his driver 47.5 inches long and then also swinging at over 200 miles an hour. Yeah. He wants to put on 10 more pounds of muscle too, by the way.
But my point is
– that's your idol, Valdez.
He was when they came back in June, he was obviously the best golfer in the world at that time because he had – you know, top five finishes. He won the Rocket Mortgage. But then he had a few tournaments where he was terrible at the Memorial. He wasn't very good at the Northern Trust. He had tournaments where
tournament where he shot the 10. Remember he had the 10?
Right. He wasn't good there. He wasn't good at the BMW. There were certain tournaments that it was really costing him that he wasn't in the fairway. All right. There were tighter fairways. There were more trees. But for this tournament, he was just able to get around that, and he was so good around the greens. I just can't believe those scores.
His putting, like 3 years ago, he was 155th in putting, and I think he's up to like 12th or 7th or something. I mean, he's unbelievable now.
Remember
how was Tiger Week?
was short. Good.
It was very short.
Tiger short week is what
Ian,
it was.
Ian Phil. Yeah. I know some buddies who put $2,000, you know, together. They put $2,000 on Phil to win the tournament. I said, what are you doing? What a waste of money that is. That's a donation.
Yep. Yep. All right. Coming up next, he joins us every Monday at 7 o'clock. It is Insider from ESPN.com. John Kime will get back into the Washington football team. Lost to the Cardinals 30-15. They dropped to 1-1. Hey, Optimus, still atop the NFC East. We'll get into that next with John Kime here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.